The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Welcome to it. Fridays here at Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, hope you're doing all right. Got great plans for the weekend. Big one in Minneapolis tonight for Nebraska baseball. They keep that momentum. We'll hit some Husker baseball. Plenty of thoughts on the gridiron as well for Nebraska football, including from one-time national champion quarterback Greg McElroy. You see him with ESPN and ABC, their coverage of college football. What does Greg think of NU? We'll explore. Coming up, Jacob Padilla, going to cover all things hoops as he'll join us from Hail Varsity and Herd at Sports. Jacob Padilla, in about 15 minutes, he'll check in on the stream. And then in hour two, the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, the Professor Bill Dolman with us, Brian Christofferson with Husker 24-7 in hour two. He's imaginary. He wears red. He'll have a thought on the spring game, some NBA postseason, Mike Riley to the playoffs, and oh yeah, the Kentucky Derby. Klausburn with us before we say goodbye. Numbers to get in, 489-1240, 489-1240, 800-825-5865. Those are the numbers to dial up. Can also find us on the stream, the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Like and subscribe there, and can watch the show that way. Also on Hail Varsity Radio Twitter at HVarsity Radio. I think about 4:30 is when coverage breaks away for Husker baseball with Gus and Ben. So just noting that up in Omaha at AM 590. Omaha's ESPN, but can catch all 2 hours on the stream or the different affiliates as well that don't take Husker baseball. So hope you're doing all right. Excited to be here on a Friday. Good weather finally, and we're ready to dive in. How about inflation? This is not a political show, but Elijah, how does $22 grab you for a mint julep at the Derby tomorrow? It was $9 back in 2015. It was $6 back in 2006. It'll be free at Iowa Russ's Derby party tomorrow for me. I just don't know what horse I'm going to pick. I don't know a damn thing about horse racing other than I love watching the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, $22 is a lot. The key.
But it's what, $3 more than what a concert beer will cost you?
Or if you go to, like, some of the more popular bars in a big city, that's, like, $10 for a beer, $20 for a mixed drink. It's craziness. But, like, it kind of follows the trend we've been seeing in terms of both inflation and the fact that whenever you go to an event in a big city, you're going to pay the premium price for these alcoholic beverages, which is a little bit, just a little bit, some crowd control. You know, if you make it a crazy price, you're going to keep the people under control, because who wants to get drunk off $22 mint juleps? You know, that ends up being a lot of money you're paying.
But you're already shelling out to be there anyway, presumably.
The key is to reach the point where you're not looking at the price anymore. You know what I'm saying? Where you've had enough drinks consumed that you just want a mint julep, and you're just signing whatever they're giving to you in order to get the mint julep. There is a point you can reach where you check your bank account the next day and went, oh my God, I bought 9 $22 mint juleps. I don't even remember that.
Of course you don't.
That's the point you're trying to be at the Kentucky Derby anyway. So at that point, does the price really matter? No, but I'm sure it does, at least for the Kentucky Derby folks, the people who have to keep the crowd in check, especially those hoodlums down in the infield, the people who can't afford the box seats, the common people down.
Vogues may have a word or two with you, Brandon Vogel. Because when he's been to the Derby, he's been in the infield.
Everyone I know has been in the infield, because we're common people. We're not these Tom Brady, Julian Edelman types that can afford a box. We're the common man, Schmitty, you and me. Mm-hmm. And as much as it pains me to say, the people who the Kentucky Derby is really for see us as the peasants down in the infield. And if you have to charge $22 for a mint julep to keep the riffraff down in the infield from getting too violent, getting too worked up, that's what you got to do.
I am fearful what horse Clasburn is going to pick. But I kind of have an idea. It's a 30-1 shot. T.O. Password.
I don't even know all the horses, so I got to go look at
the field. Fine, but we'll take your Nebraska-inspired horse names today on the stream, and let's get our shout-outs going as NU Grandpa is in first. Jeff checks in second. Tim is here in third. Brian says, what's up? Brennan from the Black Hills says, happy Friday. Tuck is already asking, what time do we start tomorrow morning? 7:45, Tuck, for the weekend edition, as always. KG is here, 5 or 6, but always 6 and 9. Thank you, KG, in my heart. NASCAR Eric is here.
Wait, KG later on chimes in. Personally, I'm against drinking alcohol. For me, if it's good for a horse, it's good for me. That's why I use horse tranquilizers.
Wow. We don't need to end the show or start the show the way we ended it yesterday. NASCAR Eric is here. Anonymous checks in 127 days until either a glorious victory or else the darkest day in the history of mankind. He's counting down kickoff against UTEP.
I think 127 is Colorado.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we're 120 the from UTEP.
Okay. So 127 till Dion. Roger is here. The other Dave. Dave, good. What's up, man? He says, and Dylan, we trust. Tyler says, what's up? He's out of Bismarck, North Dakota. Good to have you in, Tyler. The other Elijah here, Eat Beef, is here. Brent is here. And yes, Mr. Snitley, Jeff Snitley from the Boulder Peace Treaty gets in. Good afternoon. Robert here. Chris checks in. So take some of your comments, and we want those Husker-themed horse names.
And quickly, I'd like to give a shout out to Tyler in the stream from Bismarck, North Dakota. Got a lot of family in Bismarck. There's a lot of herbals in Bismarck, North Dakota. So Tyler, if you ever know any herbals up in Bismarck, I am probably related to them. So shout out to Tyler for joining us all the way from Bismarck, North Dakota. None of my family from Bismarck chimes in on the live stream, which says something.
That's a you thing.
I think that's we don't see that side of the family all that much.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I guess a little more distant, but all the herbals up there are related to me in some way, shape, or form. There's a good amount up there. So, Tyler, give my love to the herbals if you're into any of them, even though they probably don't know who I am.
Yeah, we'll go there. Brian, we'll get to your economic thoughts here in a little bit. How about the IT team? Does Nebraska get tagged as an IT team for college football in 2024? I ask that because you have a right up from Athlon, and Greg McElroy kind of laid out what he has done in the world of college football for Coach Saban and what he's done as an analyst. The Always College Football podcast is something he's a part of. It's a good listen. And while he doesn't say Nebraska is in that dark horse category or even surprise category, and listen, you have your different tiers. You've got your established, you have your dark horse, you have your surprise slash out of nowhere, you have your trendy teams, you have your step back teams, and then you have your step forward teams. I think that's a fair rundown of about six different columns. Your trendy team in the past, you see a North Carolina, let's say, start out in the top five, and then, you know, claw their way to seven or eight wins. The Buffs were trendy as all get out after they beat TCU. Your step back team, the most current example on both ends, the dark horse slash surprise out of nowhere team. Actually, surprise out of nowhere is its own category. You've seen Michigan State with the 11-2 Mel Tucker team in 2021. You also had the Michigan State squad that followed the 11-2 season that went 5-7 as your step back team. But Nebraska right now is one of those major step forward teams per Greg McElroy. The big step Nebraska takes, he really liked Dylan Raiola And he thinks part of that reason for a big step forward to the tune of 7 or 8 wins is going to be because of the offense, because of the quarterback talent. Nebraska will be far from perfect, not a title contender, but 7 to 8 wins and what year two will represent for Nebraska is a continual build for Coach Rhule. It also represents another strong recruiting class. He had a strong recruiting class for Matt Rhule. He's putting another one together, and then you kind of anchor that down. You don't let much attrition happen. You develop those guys. You don't miss. And it's also beneficial to jump into the portal and supplement that way. But he's very encouraged. I'm very encouraged. Nebraska won't be that it team. Your established teams, Michigan, they'll be maybe in that step back category without Jimbo. Texas, though, is going to be a favorite. Ohio State's going to be a favorite. Bama, they're a question mark with all their transition. LSU's got transition. USC has transition. Florida State. I mean, some of the teams that were knocking on that playoff door or made the playoffs, Notre Dame is in, you know, need of a quarterback, but they also landed the kid from Duke who was really, really good. So maybe they stay where they're at. But it'll be interesting. Oregon's going to be one of those established teams that's going to be a favorite to maybe make a playoff run. But Nebraska, for sure, a major step forward team. I agree with that. And I think they can surprise. I think they can be in it into November. And it's just reality. It's hard to think that this team's been so absent from the national/Big Ten landscape. I mean, facts are facts. It's been the same bad movie over and over again, but it feels pretty good with what you're working with here. And the thing that is really cool, we'll hear from Nick Saban, pretty interesting speaking engagement he was a part of here in about 20 minutes. But one thing you have with Matt Rhule is he's won the locker room, and he'll keep winning the locker room, and that gets your buy-in, and that buy-in gets your results eventually.
I'm getting a little distracted here from this conversation by Roger here in the stream, who was just giving us a whole bunch of Husker-themed horse names, and I kept on hearing horse names in everything you were saying. We'll get to Rogers here in just a second, but major step forward, that seems like a horse name to me. Into November? Into November's a horse name.
I like that.
Into November is kind of nice. Well, he chimes in, Cornrow Runner, Corn Biscuit. This one's unoriginal, but Husker Terriot.
Okay.
Husker Hayburner. Makes me wonder, like, if you could pick a name, if this Husker offense impresses under Dylan Riley in year one, are there any horse names that could also double as a nickname for the Husker offense? Maybe we'll pose that to the stream and see if the people that are smarter than us in the stream can think of anything good.
I mean, the obvious horse name with Husker football's the Jet.
Yeah,
I mean it just is.
I mean, but let's be Touchdown Tommy's even a
that's a great horse name for
Touchdown
sure.
Touchdown Tommy, a boy named Sue.
Yeah, that's those are your three.
It's a lot of good horse names. I mean, we're just kind of going through Heisman winner. Is there anything with Crouch we can do?
Well, you do the infamous play call that he caught the touchdown on against Oklahoma, 41 Jet Black Reverse.
Wasn't it Flash Reverse? Black Flash Reverse?
Something like that. Yeah, I don't ever get it right. I just know it had black, it had reverse, and it had 41 in it.
KG chimes in with the horse's name, One Score Loss.
Oh, my God, KG. Chasing Three.
Chasing Three is a hell of a horse name.
It is.
27 Flash Reverse.
I would always go with Fumble Rooski.
Fumble Rooski is a good horse name. Yeah, Brent, I think, has it. With
short side option.
47 Black, or no, Flash
47 Reverse. Brent, thank you. I'm ashamed and appalled that I don't have that in my memory bank, let alone tattooed, but there we have it. So
Scarlet Mutter.
Okay. 41 Black Reverse. Bull Drought. That isn't very nice. That's not very nice at all.
KG off the top rope for the second time.
Best 3-9. Roger. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying with that, with Nebraska. Really? Cornstache? Okay. Michael gets in. That's not bad. Cornstache it is.
But I every single time, oh, there's more. Dylan Ayer.
Okay.
Dylan Ayer.
Just DR.
KG says, let's get the basketball team in there. No March Madness win. That's a little too on the nose.
Yeah, that's a little long, too, for a name. We'll keep reading these. Get your Husker-themed horse name, sweet Lord, Dion. Dion comes in off the top rope and says, ah, onside kick.
I'll say Dublin Debacle. Could be a good horse name.
That's bad. The horse left for A&M. Man.
Oh, Tiger says if we're going Dion themed, we could go 3-2.
No. Somebody, I think our friends at No Block, No Rock had a tweet of Dion's feet or foot.
Yes.
Up earlier today. And there we go.
I'm sure Rex Ryan would enjoy that.
Yeah. Jack with the winner here. Bowl bound in lieu of this conversation. We'll check in with Jacob Padilla, get his thoughts around the Husker world with the spring game. And also, a lot of news this week for basketball. Moonbot 7 nails it. Go for 2.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for hanging out. It's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Some really awesome contributions in the stream via email as well. Chris at HailVarsity.com. Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Like and subscribe. Your Husker-themed Kentucky Derby horse's name would be what? And Todd emails in, seeing red. I like that. You're not impressed?
It's simple. It works.
I like it. I think that's good.
I like it. I always like the horse names that are crazy, though.
Sure. Throwing the Bones from Chris is good. My Texas X also is in the stream. Jacob Padilla is with us and can find his work with Hail Varsity and Herd at Sports at @JacobPadilla_. Jacob, how's it going, man? Thanks for joining us.
It's going all right. Kind of a lighter weekend this weekend, so plenty of time to join.
Yeah, absolutely. No far travels, it doesn't sound like, for Coach Jacob.
Just the Kearney tomorrow.
Oh, good. So that'll be a little bit easier than St. Louis.
Yeah, or Memphis next week.
Well, good. That'll be awesome going to Memphis, man. We'll get some summer ball thoughts from you. I want to get your takeaway from spring football. And we were talking Greg McElroy with ESPN. He has Nebraska as one of those teams that's going to take a major step forward because of the offense. Do you think that's doable? Are you encouraged based on how the spring game went down?
Yeah, I think you have to come away encouraged with what we saw from Dylan Raiola at the court and just the quarterback play in general. I mean, just the ability to just play pitch and catch, to complete passes, to hit the underneath stuff without any hiccups, and then to occasionally hit one downfield. Like, that's Nebraska has been so like boom or bust at the quarterback spot for so long with between the running game and some of the like chuck it down there type plays. So just someone that's a little bit more efficient that also has the ability to make those big plays when they present themselves. Like that'll go a long way just to keeping them on schedule. And obviously we didn't see many of the kind of big guns on defense there. So didn't really get a great picture there. We'll see how the secondary kind of comes together once you got everybody in place and you got all the veterans out there with the D-line putting pressure up front and all that. Still some questions on that end just in terms of how it all comes together. But you like the pieces coming back and you like the guy running the show there. So. I think you have to come away encouraged with what they did show us this year. Not that it was a ton.
Mm-hmm. Well, to put it simply, Jacob, when the offseason theme is chasing three, Nebraska at least showed an offense with Dylan Raiola under center that looked at least 3 points better, correct?
Yeah, and I mean, you've got enough I think enough guys flash to be encouraged with the pass catching options around Raiola. So like both parts of that looked encouraging between what Jalen Lloyd, Ja'Cory Barney. Obviously, you've got the transfers you brought in that have played more elsewhere that are more experienced to kind of lead that group. So I think you come away again, like if you can hold up once you're playing again in real competition against somebody that isn't yourself, with everybody out there, then I think you have to come away. I think you saw what you needed to see to feel good heading into this season. How good, that it's impossible to tell in the spring because of just the nature of it. Mm-hmm. But I think, again, the coaches probably came away as like, okay, we got some good stuff done here, and we've definitely got some pieces to work with as we head into the fall.
Jacob Padilla is with us from Hail Varsity, heard at sports at Jacob Padilla _. There are a lot of pieces. I like the skill spot, and you feel good about that offensive line and then some of the depth that's been developed. Did you see enough from a guy like Emmett Johnson briefly, and also, of course, ear to the ground with how good a spring he had? It sounds like he had a really good spring. You're still working on Dowdell, and he had a nice 50-yard run. Gabe didn't end up going to the portal, which is nice. And you're going to really need a solid run game, obviously, for balance, but also to take pressure off, presumably, a young quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, the spring wasn't, and Rhule himself, like, gave us a heads up, like, hey, this is mostly about passing for us. I want to see a shootout here. They're not necessarily going to set it up to be a kind of run-heavy deal there in the spring game. And you had the one long run for Dowdell, and, but you didn't necessarily see a lot of, like, eye-popping stuff out of that spot. Just you heard encouraging reports. And ultimately, I think they've got at least capable guys at that spot if you get good enough blocking. And that'll be the key, is can that offensive line turn the corner enough to where they can consistently dictate the ability to get the yardage that they need, like that the offensive line is blocking well enough that you don't necessarily need a superstar that needs to break a tackle in the backfield every single time to gain yardage. Like if they've got guys, I think, that can give them the yardage that the offensive line creates at the very least. And then you've got maybe a little bit more upside beyond that. You've got a mix of skill sets back there with the guys between the returners, and you add in Dowdell Johnson in the second year. You mentioned Urban. You've got Ramir Johnson, kind of all those guys in the mix. They all kind of have a different style, different body type. So you've got a mix of guys that you can throw out there and use in different situations. So it's going to come down to, all right, how good can that offensive line be? Can they be the type of team that you need 5 yards on this down? You can go get that. You can block it well enough that a guy doesn't have to make a superhuman play, because I don't think they've got an all-conference type of running back there. But you don't necessarily need that if you've got enough around those guys and if the offensive line can do their job. And I think that's what is going to be the key for this season, both off, I mean, in the passing and the running game. This offensive line, they've been building this for years. It's been a problem. You've got a lot of guys that have played through struggles, that have gotten better, that come out the far side. Now they're mm-hmm. excited about, can that line stay together? Can that line consistently win up front between holding their own enough for Raiola to get the ball where it needs to go, or carving out space for those backs to pick up yards?
Jake, the way I kind of see it is that your offensive line and your running backs set the floor for what an offense can be. And it's the position guys, those quote-unquote game breakers, that set the ceiling for what your offense can be. And that's my follow-up question to you. Do you see guys within this offense that can truly be game breakers, guys that can raise the ceiling of this Husker offense and take them from an offense that can be average to good to great?
I think it's kind of relative. Like, I don't know that I see playoff type of guys this season. You've got some guys that you're excited about that maybe can turn into them down the line. I don't know if it's realistic to expect Raiola and Barney and even Lloyd in year two, Coleman, if he can get out there and get healthy, like expect those guys to be those guys right away to really like make national noise. But I think we've seen enough to feel good about, yeah, they've got a chance to go out there and take a step forward, to win more games, to make the plays that maybe in the past they were a few plays short. We got some guys that can maybe go out and make those plays and get them over the hump to win those extra 2-3 games, whatever, to get to a bowl game, to get in contention for a top half conference finish.
Jacob, let's get some thoughts on the hardwood with Nebraska basketball. Your reaction to Rink and what it does for Nebraska next season. Mia getting green light to come to Lincoln from Washington, and then also Bolas as a walk-on, kind of long, athletic, talented kid that is making his way to Fred's program.
Yeah, the buzz about Mast and potentially needing surgery and all that stuff has been going on for a while. I guess I didn't realize just how serious it was that, like, already there's whatever he needs done will shut him down for the entire season. I guess that part came as a bit of a surprise, I guess. Like, and now that explains why it did take so long to come to this decision. I guess in kind of exploring all the options available to him before ultimately deciding on the surgery. So that is a big blow for them. And now you're looking a little light in the front court. It makes those pickups of Mia and Andrew Morgan previously. I didn't love the fit of Morgan with Mass, when they made, especially considering some of the other guys they were looking at and the needs. But now knowing that Mass isn't going to be in the picture for this next year, and the fact that they went out and got a guy like Mia that does kind of provide some of those things in terms of length and athleticism and finishing at the rim, now it makes a little bit more sense, and you can see kind of how that picture is coming together in the front court. Again, they still probably need somebody at that four spot, but behind Juwan Gary, kind of replace some of what Josiah Alec brought, mm-hmm. just in terms of the deck, because you don't, beyond those three, there's not, like, nobody really on that perimeter. Like, Bryce would maybe be your next option to play up, because Gavin Griffiths is the next tallest player, but he's 190 pounds or whatever he is. He's a pure perimeter player. You don't want Brayden Frager coming in as a true freshman having to play minutes at that spot right away at his side. Like, they just don't have much in terms of guys that you'd feel comfortable with holding down the four spot in the Big Ten. So that's probably the kind of, as they go about finishing off this portal cycle, that's probably where their attention needs to be directed. As for Justin Bolas, it's a really cool story. But I guess starting with Mia, like I said, the seven-footer, true seven-footer that can finish at the rim, can block shots a little bit. He had a really good junior season at Washington and then lost his starting spot this past year. If they can get him back to kind of the production that he had that junior year here at Nebraska, he can be a really important piece for them. Just as a guy that takes up space, that protects the rim, rolls to the rim, kind of provides that pressure to open up shooters on the perimeter, and just something they didn't really have this past year with the way their front court was put together. So that was a big pickup for them if they can kind of get him back to where he was at his peak for Washington. And then Bolas is just kind of a cool story. Obviously, local kid, tore his ACL, I believe it was, missed his entire junior year at Lincoln High, then came back and had a good senior year, about 9.6 boards, helped them to their best season in a while. Had NAIA offers coming out of high school and decided to go JUCO route. And coming out of Lincoln High, he was a good player, but he was limited. Mm-hmm. Kind of all just catch and finish at the rim. Struggled to even make free throws. Good defensive presence, but kind of a little undersized for a post. And then he goes to Southeast Community College and has a really good season. He's, they got him listed at 6'9", 220 now, so he continued to grow a little bit. Just a good kid that's going to be a really good practice body, and then see if they can get more out of that.
Jacob, hang on 2 minutes. We'll be back with you.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Couple more minutes, some overtime here with Jacob Padilla from Hail Varsity and Herd at Sports at @JacobPadilla_. Jacob, need to get your thought on Ryan Kalkbrenner coming back for the Jays. I know he put his name in with some NBA consideration, but pretty big for Mac. And Creighton's had a couple of incredible back-to-back seasons, and their dude in the middle that is such a matchup problem, good rim protector, athletic, he returns for this J squad.
Yeah, huge win for Creighton. Wasn't a given, but I think at the end of the day, he kind of evaluated all the pros and cons of going pro versus coming back and obviously doing something nobody's ever done at Creighton. Never had a five-year player at his level, and won't again here with the kind of the COVID extra year expiring here after this past season. So a chance to come back and continue adding to his legacy, chance to definitely earn some money. He'll be well compensated for coming back, and has a chance to build off of what he's done and lead this Creighton team. Like, he's obviously, it was kind of the three-headed monster last year with Trey and Trey Alexander and Baylor Shireman, and all three of those guys did receive NBA combine invites. That list just kind of got put out. So both Trey and Ryan attended the combine a year ago. Kind of just continues to show, like, hey, Kalkbrenner, certainly he had the NBA interest. I think Jonathan Giovanni of ESPN Draft Express kind of said it caught him by surprise that Kalkbrenner decided not to just enter the draft and move on. Had him at 52 on his board. And again, combine invitation shows the NBA is still interested. So it wasn't a case of, well, there wasn't a place for him. Like, he was going to have a chance. What he did with that is going to be up to him, but the NBA is still very interested in him. So it's a huge win to get him to come back to Creighton for another year. And now they've got a chance to kind of maintain this level of competitiveness that we've seen over the past few years. You add the kind of transfers they've got, plus the guys coming back. Just a huge win for Creighton, and Kalkbrenner has a chance to further establish himself all over the Creighton record books, and he'll certainly see his jersey hung in the rafters at some point down the road.
Jacob, before we get you out of here, question of the day, I believe, is what we're going to call it right now. Husker-themed horse name for the Kentucky Derby. We've had some good suggestions in. Black 41 Flash Reverse has been one. Touchdown Tommy, Throw the Bones. I personally threw in, and I've thrown this up on a Twitter poll now on my Twitter. You can find it on Hail Varsity Radio as well. Bangarang and Ode to Kent Pavelka and Husker basketball. Do you have any Husker-themed horse names you'd like to throw into the ring here?
Off the top of my head, no. That's one I'm going to have to think about. But the Bangarang one certainly is fitting. I think that would be one, be fun to say, like Bangarang coming around the turn. I think it kind of fits with, like you said, the kind of the playful nature of it. The wackier, the better.
Storm that puppy.
Oh, that's so good.
Shout out to Chick and Nick there. But yeah, Storm that puppy.
That's so good.
Well, maybe we can all win the lottery and chip in on a horse that'll be Derby proud someday, huh?
Not really my scene, but you guys can have some fun with it.
Well, to go back to our conversation yesterday, it would be heartbreaking to euthanize Storm that puppy.
Just stay away. All right, summer session, Jacob, back on the road. Summer session, what's the talent like? You've seen a lot of it. You're coaching a lot of it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, we've been spoiled with the level of talent that we've seen come through Nebraska the last few classes. I don't think we've got anything that quite lives up to that level. And kind of a bummer, one of the guys that had a chance to really elevate his stock and is Bryson Ball from Papillion La Vista South. And he got hurt during the kind of the first Adidas tournament here in Omaha. So he's kind of, he's sidelined now for a bit, going to need some other guys to step up there. So it's, we don't have necessarily have anybody that's high major, especially with Brayden Frager enrolling early at Nebraska. He would have been kind of the guy headlining that class with Amari Bynum choosing to go to prep school. He's the other guy in this class down at Mokan Elite. That has high majors all over him. So those are the two best players in the class, and they're both now essentially not in the class for Nebraska. So that definitely hurts the talent at the top, but we're just kind of getting started. It's a spring. Things really pick up in July. That's when you get the kind of the biggest tournaments, all the circuit championships and all that type of stuff. So still some time to keep building here.
Jacob, we'll check in again. Awesome stuff. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, appreciate him. There's Jacob Padilla with us from Hail Varsity, Herd at Sports. More of your input here on Husker-themed horses, or horse names, I should say. There's a couple here that are...
Andrew has a good one that I don't think we can put up.
I don't think so either, but...
No, it is, credit Andrew, I'll hat off to you. You're not going to get the shout-out
that
live.
Is,
but...
That is a short list. Tiger Shark Diver has one, too.
Brennan says, if we die, we die.
Yes!
Get euthanized.
No, this if we die, we die is the rallying cry that is very real. But there is a horse in the Derby called T.O. Password. It's 30-1. It's a 30-1 shot. I still like Todd's Seeing a Red. That's probably what I have circled. You have Seattle Sue that was put in on the stream.
I'm going to put a second Twitter poll up now. I like I Am Hip.
Yeah, that's all good.
That's classic.
We can't, I don't know. Tiger Shark Diver and Andrews are too good to not mention. Too good to not mention.
Can we at least put them up on video and not mention them on
yeah,
the radio?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Because it's not us saying it.
No, that's fine. We just don't want lawsuits. Okay, so Incognito Punch.
That's kind of riding the line, but there has been enough documented there. I don't think we're going to get sued. Yeah.
This is the other one from Tiger. If you're watching the stream, Hail Varsity YouTube channel, and this is Andrews. So away we go. 489-1240, 489-1240, 800-825-5865, numbers to get in. You can also email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com. And we'll get to some thoughts from Nick Saban on what that first year was like for him. How does it relate? Well, it gets into winning the locker room. Ah, how about just 1890? That could work.
This could be great marketing for 1890, actually, to go buy a horse in the Kentucky Derby and to make it Husker-themed. Just name it Donate to 1890.
The winnings?
No. Like, that's what you name the horse. Donate to 1890.
Ah. So, again, we just got to get a lottery ticket, win, and then away we go with whatever name we want to go with.
1890 can do that all themselves.
Well, sure they can. But
if 1890, if you're listening,
we'll get,
it's an idea for you.
We'll get Bill Dolman's take on things. Hail Varsity on a Friday. Spotify, iTunes, Google Play for the podcast. We're powered by Cornhead Lager.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour, Bill Dolman, Brian Christofferson, the imaginary man that wears red, Clasburn, with some Kentucky Derby picks. In hour two, it's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager, taking more of your Husker-themed horse names in honor of the Kentucky Derby. Get into the Hail Varsity YouTube channel, the stream, with your name suggestions. Hail Varsity YouTube, and subscribe there.
And Wyatt has chimed in on Twitter with me saying day by day. A classic,
good
oldie
call.
But a goodie.
I like that. Day by day is good.
Brenton here in the stream says pipeline jockey.
Yeah, or pipeline.
Well, that's not why. I don't like one-word horse names, you know?
My favorite name ever is Sunday Silence. I think that was a cool name.
I mean,
and then, of course, Omaha.
Can't beat Rich Strike.
Yeah?
That was such a the iconic call of him coming down that.
That was good.
The final home stretch. I'm not big into horse racing. I'm probably...
No, I don't know a damn thing. I just know how to donate money every year at Iowa Russ's Derby Party.
Rich Strike!
Down the okay,
down
so the let's buckle up here. Use your seatbelt. It saves lives. It prevents injuries. Only if properly worn, make it click. The message brought to you from the NDOT Highway Safety Office. Story time with St. Nick and Nick Saban. Do we have that?
Let me pull it up. I'll have it in 2 seconds.
All right.
You can preview it all you want. I got it right here.
Pretty good. It's Nick Saban and a gut-wrenching loss year one, and then he got to go to a gas station after everything. Here's what Saban had to say about it.
If you remember back the first year that we were at Alabama, we lost to ULM. You may not even know what that stands for, University of Louisiana Monroe. And it was the most humiliating defeat maybe of my entire coaching career. I think we had five guys suspended by the NCAA. We had three more suspended for disciplinary reasons. We played horrible in the game. I was almost ashamed of how we represented the university and the program. We fumbled the ball six times. So we end up getting beat in the game. But so everybody's disappointed. Fans are disappointed. Coaches are disappointed. Players are disappointed. But when you're the coach, you have to go in the locker room after the game and try to inspire your guys when they didn't perform very well. Then you have to go to the press conference and try to explain to people why you played so poorly. Then you have to go to the recruiting room and try to talk to the recruits that it's not really going to be this way in the future. So then after all that humiliation, I get in my car to drive home and I don't have any gas in the car. So now I got to stop at a self-serve, put some gas in the car. And I used to wear my LSU national championship ring. So I go to pay the guy, and the guy says, "Wow, what's that ring?" And I said, "That's a national championship ring, and we're going to do the same thing here at Alabama." And the guy looks at me and says, "We'll never do it as long as that Nick Saban is the coach." So.
That's pretty good.
That Saban guy, never going to make it happen. At Herbal Essence for Elijah's Twitter. And he's got some of the Derby-themed Husker horse names for you. Black 41, Flash Reverse, Bang-A-Rang, Touchdown Tommy, Throw the Bones, If We Die, We Die, Onside in Dublin, Go for Two, Sea of Red. All right.
We've had some Run the Damn Ball has been a suggestion.
Yeah, that's good. Brian checks in. He may have the lead here. Man, Woman, and Child.
That's classic.
That is so good. Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, the professor with us here. Hour two on the way with Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Back with you. It's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, the professor hunkered down, Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, good to have you, man. Thanks for checking in.
Well, you know, thanks for letting me be on the show. And for those folks watching on the stream, as I am right now, we get ready to come on the air here, and I see Schmitty grab for a bottle and throw it down. I'm like, is that like a bottle of Tito's or something? Or, oh, it's Evian. Gotcha.
It's an Evian bottle, but it's tap water.
Sure it is.
No, it is.
It's like Friday afternoon. I'm throwing it down for
we're just gonna hammer some vodka live on the air. We are taking Nebraska inspired horse names for the Kentucky Derby. Brennan from the Black Hills chimes in after the 5 o'clock hour. This is an ode to Bo. F you fans. Dion with another good one. This is pretty good. Dad Gummit. Go for Two. Boy Named Sue. Throw the Bones. Seeing Red. Elijah, your Twitter at Herbal Essence has poll options up. So those are good, but there's been so many good ones
here. Do you want to hear all the ones I'm seeing on Twitter, Bill?
Yes.
We have Black 41 Flash Reverse. Bang-A-Rang. Touchdown Tommy, Throw the Bones, If We Die, We Die.
you betcha.
You betcha.
Rick chimes in.
Go for Two. Onside in Dublin. Sea of Red. Let me get some fans in here. We have Day by Day, Fumble Rooski, Bonos.
Okay.
A lot of options. And Bonos could be more of a Bo Jackson reference, but still works. And last one we'll give you here. Put him in the aisles. Uh-oh. Somebody has a... Did somebody email in a suggestion? Oh, is it a comment?
No, it's an email. Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Kleptomania.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
Well, I'm not sure because you got to get, 17 letters?
I think right? So.
So, I mean, if you do a real old school homage, well, Bill's a good one for one.
Yeah.
Bill would be an excellent name. Tore them loose from their shoes. Is that 17 letters?
That has been suggested. Man, woman, okay. And child.
Man, woman, and child. That's an homage to the past. Mm-hmm. Train wreck.
Okay.
Tom Trainwreck Novak.
Sure.
4-year case of the flu. Yeah.
Ooh.
Who?
4-year case of the flu could be a good name.
Trademarked by one William Dolman. One more second. That's from Buck 380. RVD. Brennan again. Triplets from Steve Nichols.
Houston freaking nut.
Yeah, right. How about Smiley Jones?
If you want one that really gets to the heart of Nebraska, though, and is only asked.
SOB, SOB, sweet old Bob.
What's a Jeff?
Okay.
What's a Jeff?
Fairbury Jeffs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The most asked question in Nebraska.
Scott what's says... Scott, the listener, says frost warning. gravitation to mediocrity.
On the Fairbury theme, we could go Red Dog. Red Dog.
I still like...
Red Beer. That could be a good one.
I still like Seeing Red.
Yeah.
Who's calling you? Horsehead? Dolman's got the old Godfather ringtone. I like it. That's
bail
so
money.
Wow.
Fair weather so, fans.
Jeez, never. Let's.
That's a great game to play on this
Friday.
Weekend, right?
It is. It is all right.
I mean, Nebraska fans could come up with, just a ton of them.
No, I like Fumble Rooski, short side option. So. Bowl movement is well played. Let's get into some thoughts from McElroy is on the ESPN pod. He likes Nebraska as one of those teams, Bill, to take a major step forward. I know with the Average Joe Sports Show pod, we laid out the reaction, but there's different tiers, right? You've got your established teams that are playoff contenders / favorites. You've got your dark horses. You have your surprise out of nowhere teams. Think of Oregon State or Michigan State before, Mel went 5-7 the following year. There's the trendy team, the Buffs. People jump on that bandwagon or North Carolina.
And off right away.
Yeah, they dive off. The step back team, Michigan could be in that category. Step back for them is not going undefeated. And then there's step forward with Nebraska. He thinks 7 or 8 wins, and but no playoff. But reaction to that, he was pretty impressed with the offense as to the reason why they'll step forward.
You know, I think most people who – I think Nebraska's spring game was not just well-watched here. It was – I think there was a lot of curious observers, in the national media as to just what, Nebraska's going to look like, A, year two under Matt Rhule, and B, year two with Dylan Raiola. So I think even though it's a glorified practice and the quarterbacks couldn't get hit, people who know what to look for. And I think even the casual observers could watch – any of the three quarterbacks, but I think that the two that we figure to be the one and two, and that would be Raiola and Harburg, I think you see the great potential that, well, the great talent and potential Raiola brings to Nebraska. But anybody who watched Nebraska a year ago and watched Harbaugh could see that he has improved pretty dramatically. So Nebraska's quarterback room has improved a lot. And I think that gives people reason to believe that Nebraska is going to be better, because Nebraska had such an awful year last year, really because of the inability to hold on to the football and make plays on third down. And I think anybody who saw the way that Nebraska is organized and what Raiola brings and the receiving core, I think that receiving core looked really, really good. They know Nebraska could be a team that, if you can hold on to the football and not make those kinds of mistakes, is going to be able to move it. They also believe that Tony White's defense was for real last year and for realer this year, with Huttmacher and Robinson coming back, and they know what those guys behind them in the second and third levels can do and how athletic Nebraska's defense is. So I think there's a lot of reason why Nebraska would be a trendy pick. And also, you can't discount that, look, people love Matt Rhule. You know, the media loves Matt Rhule. He's accessible to him. He gives them 30-minute interviews and not 3 minutes. They see the WWE last year. They see him with Zach Bryan this year. He's all over the place. His track record at Temple when they were a trendy team, remember?
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy. When they were trendy a few years ago, and it was Baylor, he was the guy. And so his accessibility to the media, the way he handles everything, I can see why people like McElroy, and he's not alone. There's a whole chorus of people all over the country that, you know, yeah, off-season champs, absolutely.
Another horse name out there.
Perennial power. But I think there's good reason for them to pick Nebraska to be the trendy 8-win team this year. And I think it'll be more than that.
It's Bill Dolman with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, talking some Kentucky Derby names, some Husker football. And Bill, kind of a bit of a theme that's been running through my own head today is chasing three. That being the offseason goal for Nebraska, the winter conditioning. Do you think that what you saw on Saturday from the defense and from the offense shows you that A, they can be 3 points better, and B, 3 points better leads to the type of success that Nebraska wants?
Again, I would hope that it had been called chasing four. Right?
So you don't go to overtime.
Playing for ties, right? They're chasing three and 13 to 10 losses. Chasing four. We need four. All right? Look, I think there's a lot of reason for optimism, but one of the areas of concern, 3 points off the foot of Alvano or whoever's going to be the kicker in the fall. That's got to be better. You can hold on to the football and you can move the football and have spectacular plays. But, you know, so many times, Nebraska gets bogged down inside the 25-yard line. Mm-hmm. And you get inside the 25-yard line or stalled there, that's a 42-yard field goal. You've got to be able to make inside 45 in college football. And so if they move and then they stall and they're not getting the ball in from 25 out, that kicking game has got to be better. And they can't leave those three on the tee. Right? Well, I know they don't use a tee anymore, but you know what I'm saying. So, yeah, I think that chasing four and 14 is certainly possible. But wouldn't you feel better if you came out of the spring game feeling good about all three phases? I think Nebraska feels good about what its defense can do. I think they feel good about what the offense can do. But anybody who's a close observer of Nebraska football knows problems last year, holding on to the ball, and consistency in the kicking game.
Bill,
they held on to the ball well in the spring game, but the kicking game wasn't much better.
No, and I'm not ready to be sold on it yet. I'm not ready to panic either with the kicking game, but it is a different conversation. You want to have that phase be nails for you. And it is far from that right now after just what we got to see. Running game, before we wind it down, do you feel confident and comfortable? We asked Jacob about it. We'll talk to BC about it next segment. But from a run game standpoint, is it going to be good enough? Do you think could it, or is that a concern for you?
I think the running back room is pretty good. I'm not one that discounts that so much. You know, Nebraska, we got to see if they can get Dylan Edwards. Well, I think you've got a pretty solid stable of backs, especially if you can keep Irvin and Ramir Johnson healthy. But
you kept Irvin from the portal.
Yeah, so I think there's the key to the running game is the depth on the offensive line. And we talked about this on Average Joe as well before. You know, in the past couple of years, Nebraska's had maybe six solid starters and depth. Now I think you'd have to say that they've got, you know, 10 guys in those top units that can play serviceably well. Maybe that's a low bar. But Ben Hart's going to be the all-time starter at Nebraska along the offensive line. And he, you know, they believe that he's an all Big Ten guy. Prohaska's better. Jenkins provides depth. Everybody was really happy with those young bucks they brought in a year ago. Gatula, Knutson, I'm forgetting somebody.
Sledge.
Sledge, right? So those guys have some seasoning. So I think that if that line is better, the athletes they have in that running back room, for however much they're going to use them, I think are pretty good. Dowdell quietly had 76 yards on 7 carries.
It helps that he ripped off 45 yards on one of them.
Right, but, you know, that's what you're running back to do. Nobody has inflated 10 yards per carry numbers while ripping off, you know, a couple of 20 or 30-yard runs in a game, you know? So, I mean, I you got to have that big run like that. But I like Johnson. I like Emmett Johnson a lot. And I think Emmett Johnson could be what Dylan Edwards, you know, is to Kansas State now or was to Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Bill,
so I like Nebraska's running backs room in the offensive line.
Bill, does the running back need to emerge? Are you comfortable with another year of running back by committee?
I think the committee thing is you're not going to have Mike Rozier getting it 25 to 30 times a game. You're not going to have that bulwark back that is – you know, the guy that is the feature of the I formation. That just doesn't happen anymore. You got guys that can give you 7 to 14 or 15 carries in a game, and you rotate a couple of them in, and you carry the ball as a team maybe 25 to 30 times total. You're not going to get any running out of your quarterback if it's Raiola, right? But I still think Nebraska probably has two guys that can carry, you know, 8 to 15 times in Johnson and Dowdell. And you've got a third down back in Ramir Johnson, maybe Ives. And Irvin's he's a physical running back, mm-hmm. too. So there's a lot of complementary players in the backfield that I really like with Nebraska.
Bill Dolman with us, Hail Varsity Radio. And can find Bill on Twitter at Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. And Bill, about 30 seconds, the horse name you're going with in tribute to Nebraska. You'd pick one name.
Oh, that is, you know, I'd like to come up with someone that's, you know, a good quip, but Gopher 2 is the one that just comes to my mind.
Yeah. Short side option.
Defines Tom.
Okay.
Gopher 2. Yeah.
That's fine.
But again, I think Bill is good.
Bill. Bill is good.
I would love a whole year of Kentucky Derby horse names with all just normal names.
Huh?
Here comes Bill up the outside.
Uh-huh. Bill by a nose.
And here's John down the rail.
Billy the average Joe Kentucky Derby.
There we have it. Bill, we'll see you this weekend, bud.
See you, boys.
There he is, Bill Dolman with us on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it at Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager. Let's talk some Big Red football. Brian Christofferson with us. Find him on Twitter at Husker247BC, senior writer for Husker247.com. BC, what's good, man? How's the week been?
Week's been good. Yeah, get a little... spring ball reaction throughout the week, still settling our opinions on that. But I think most people are encouraged right now. So moods are good.
Mood is good. And we talked in hour one about Greg McElroy, ESPN analyst, and he's circling Nebraska as that team that could surprise. And every year there's a preseason darling, and then there's a team that does come out of nowhere. Where do you sit right now with Nebraska? Because you know the hype's going to build locally, and then you'll have some national folks jump on as well. There's intrigue, but I think the excitement's warranted. What do you feel?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you always want to curb it a bit for a program that hasn't been to a bowl game since, you know, 2016. But I think there's a thought, like, what if, like, the turnover margin stat, like, flipped to even, you know, for a year? What would that look like record-wise for Nebraska? I mean, we're talking about a team that was 5-7 last year, but well, they turned over 31 times and were, you know, minus 15 or something like that. One of the worst in the country in that stat. So if you can sort of fix some of your issues there, if you get better quarterback play with sounder decisions, and maybe you are actually end up on the plus side of a statistic like that, that right there, you know, Chris, can flip a couple wins in itself. And then, you know, there's these other little parts along the way, you know, a defense that I think feels like they can take the football away more and, you know, even raise their game up a bit. So, yeah, there's reason for some optimism. And I think a big part of it is people just expect quarterback play is going to be a little bit better. I think we can be realistic and know there are going to be overcast days, especially if a freshman QB is playing. But you can also see, and we saw on Saturday, what's in his toolkit. And there's some good decision-making that was on, you know, that was present that day. And hopefully you can keep that going into the fall.
Brian, the theme of winter conditioning, chasing three. It's a two-part question for you here. One being, do you see a defense in your mind that can maintain the performance that they put up last year? It's kind of been chalked up on the board with all the returning production they have on that side of the ball that will – oh, the defense is going to be as good as they were last year. First,
yeah.
Do you think that is the case? Do you think that's something we can already put on the board as being truth? And second, did you see an offense in the spring game last week that looked 3 points better?
To the first question, I like that you asked that question because I don't think we should just chalk it up as a given. That has to be earned, you know. As Matt Rhule has said, you know, some teams are studying what Nebraska did last year on defense, too. It was new to them, Tony White's scheme, and it was the first year there. So they're going to have some curveballs or responses to that. I do think, you know, like the defense we saw in the scrimmage on Saturday, we got to keep in mind that, like, 7, 8, 9 key guys weren't on the field, you know, for that. So I expect it to look a lot different, you know, when Ty and Nash are out there and Giff. And Tommy Hill. So they're going to be better than what they showed in that red-white game. But I do think they know they have to go earn it. And just because you were top 10 in rushing defense last year doesn't mean you're going to be that this year. So you got to make sure you get that middle linebacker spot solidified. We'll see how the Bly Hill injury heals and like what they have at the corner spot opposite Tommy Hill. There's some questions on the board, but I do like a lot of what they have, and I like that Tony White, I think, is always going to keep them on their toes and not resting on their laurels, so that's a benefit. As for the offense, yeah, I think they can be at least 3 points better, and I think a big part of it comes to the quarterback play, but also they have more weapons at wide receiver this year. I really believe that with Ja'Cory Barney and Jalen Lloyd, you know, taking the steps he has, and Jamal. And I thought Nair looked good Saturday when he got the ball in space. He's got sort of that extra little juice to him when he's running. So I think they've got more options. Again, though, you got to go earn it, and you got to play smart football. And that was my most satisfying thing about this scrimmage and what I've heard this spring is I think the turnovers have been down this spring compared to last.
Well, Brent, to me, I look at 3 points better, and to me what that is, it's an offense that can move the football, which I think we saw Dylan Raiola especially move the ball well, get into field goal range. Here's the follow-up question to you. Are you worried about the kicking game? To be 3 points better, 3 points is a field goal. Now, Alvano didn't inspire much confidence in the spring game.
I am worried about the kicking game until it's proven we shouldn't be. I think Tristan's obviously got the skill set to be really good at it, and he's got I think he's a tough-minded guy. But, yeah, it's one of those performances that is going to keep people on edge a little bit, and it's a little unfair to him. Maybe it's just like, you know, one practice, maybe made 98% of them when we weren't watching, but the bottom line is, this is the practice we did see, which was sort of like a game, and the first one missed pretty badly, and so yeah, that's a worry until it isn't. You know, hopefully the punting game's sounder too. I think Puccini's got a lot of talent, but I felt like he had a couple, you know, he would mix in a bad punt every two games or so that was pretty costly. So that needs to get ironed out if you want to be that complete team. And, you know, you got to be that special teams unit that can also make a play like Barney made, you know, on the kick return, or and have a punt return threat again, or block some punts. Like, I do think that phase of the game needs to elevate a couple notches for Nebraska to you know, win a couple extra games off of it.
Brian Christopherson's with us at Hale Varsity Radio, of course, BC, with Husker 24/7. Find him on Twitter if you haven't already, and to give him a follow, Husker 24/7 BC, Husker247.com. The dreaded expectation question about quarterback. I feel better. It looks worlds better again in that setting. It needed to. But you did have it from a mechanic standpoint with Harburg. He threw it with confidence. On top of, you know, what he can do with his legs. Dylan just looked special slash different. And you had a lot of poise by Danny Kalen. All three, I think, should inspire confidence. Let's focus on Raiola, though. And what were you most impressed with walking away Saturday?
The precision he had with the short throws, how fluid it all looked. You know, those throws that, like screen passes and some slip screen stuff, things that should seemingly be sort of routine, have not been for Nebraska football. And I felt like he was putting those passes where they needed to be, where guys could run with them and make a play after the catch. Mm-hmm. I like just how Raiola responded earlier in the spring. He was being asked about explosive plays like the first time he was interviewed, and he was being asked about the deep ball, and he quickly corrected that, be like, I got guys who can run in space. I just got to give them the ball. Like, there's an understanding there, I think, that was sort of shown Saturday of, you know, get Ja'Cory Barney a pass, 2 yards off the line of scrimmage, and it might be a 15, 20-yard gain. You know, you got to rely on those guys to make plays too, and know you don't have to do it all with your arm, and that's going to help you statistically and help your team. So I think he has a good understanding of that. I think when you listen to Harburg talk about, you know, building up his completion percentage and taking those checkdowns when they're there, I really think Glenn Thomas and those coaches have drilled that into their head pretty well this spring. And I thought that was something that sort of showed up in this scrimmage. Now, I've always tried to not go overboard with the red-white game. It is what it is. That said, you watch Raiola play and you just say, yeah, he's got the tools. It's all in the kit there. There's going to be days where it's going to be tough, I'm sure, his first year, and he's going to have to learn lessons along the way. But I think most people walked away from it saying, okay, I get it. I get why this guy was talked about the way he is and what can be. That doesn't mean it's necessarily always going to be that way, especially early on. But I think people sort of, whatever hopes they had for how it was going to look, he delivered in that. And a lot of it was because, you know, he sometimes didn't make a throw, like the time he ran out of bounds and didn't throw across his body. It's stuff like that that I think this fan base appreciates after all the turnovers recently.
Ryan, let's shift gears. Playoff committee announcing a familiar name to Nebraska fans, Mike Riley, on the playoff selection committee. What's your reaction?
Seems good to me. I mean, he's a lifer for this game. I mean, he spent so many years in college football, has been at it at all levels. I think he'll have sound judgment and a good input there. I there's nothing I could say bad about that. I'm glad for Mike and that he has a role like that. You know, it was a weird sort of time in Nebraska football when he was here, and it didn't quite work out. But I don't think there's a lot of ill will of most Husker fans about him. It seemed like kind of an odd fit when he was here, but I think this is a good fit. So, guys like that who've been around the game for 40 years, yeah, put them on that committee. I think those are the type of people you want.
Brian, if you were to look around everyone who covers the Husker football team, a member of the Husker media, which person would you nominate to be on the playoff selection committee?
Oh, man.
You can say yourself, but we might judge you for it.
No, I wouldn't say myself. I shouldn't be on there. There's all sorts of good people. I'm going to say a coworker because you should stick with your team, I think, on things like that. I think Michael Bruns is just one of those guys, like, is going to have a reasonable opinion. I trust him to be fair about it, not be swayed too easily by somebody else. So I think he's sort of got that just, like, if you're like in a foxhole guy, you'd want him next to you. You feel like he'd keep his calm and he'd be smart about things. So I'll say Michael Bruns. But there's at least 3 to 5 people that I think could do a decent job. Maybe not better than decent, but at least decent.
Bruns, he has that intensity. He has a smile, and he's really, really intelligent. So that's a good call. And he's loyal. I mean, he wears that damn Oakland stuff all the time.
Yeah. He'd wear his A's hat into the room. They'd have to allow that. He'd look like Jonah Hill from Moneyball in there with, like, kind of he'd have, like, a Weezer, type shirt, like, from a Weezer album, and he'd have his A's hat. And hopefully he's not listening and going to get mad at me about that, but that's how I see him in the third chair on the table, and I think he'd do a good job.
No, that's fair. That's well beyond
fair. He would do
a
good job. Schmitty, I would be biased here, and I would nominate our friend Clausburn, who would probably do a horrible job, but I think that could be a
Claus would be entertaining before he'd get thrown out. They'd use his head first to throw the door out. Brian, we'll get caught up again. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Few more names with that Husker theme for what you would name your Kentucky Derby horse. The other Elijah says Cornhead Lager. Vic from Denver says past his prime as a shot to Dion or FCU. We welcome in. He's imaginary. He wears red. Clausburn with us for the Friday forecast to talk some Kentucky Derby, maybe a little NBA, get his thoughts on the spring game. And we say hi to Claus. Claus, how are we doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. Looking up recipes for a hot brown sandwich and a mint julep so that we can celebrate the first Saturday in May correctly.
Hot brown sandwiches are awesome. Mint juleps, not as good as just regular bourbon, but I'll have a couple tomorrow. Claus, are you going to partake?
Well, I don't know that I would necessarily, but Nance has invited the coffee clutch over to watch. So if I'm going to get through those 2 minutes, I'm going to need something from Woodford.
That's so good. Claus, let's get your thoughts on the spring game first before we talk Derby.
Well, obviously, the spring game is a good preview of things that we might see in the upcoming season. Of course, with the Wild West of the transfer portal and the NIL, seeing quarterbacks playing for the opposite team at different times in the game may be coming. So that was a little bit confusing. I think it even confused the players when the guy in the gray jersey tackled the guy in the white jersey and they nearly came to blows on that kickoff return. So I expect this to be the future of college football before too long, and Nick Saban got out at the right time.
Claus, any thoughts on the quarterback?
Well, it was nice to see a number 15 that could throw it as well as our old number 15 could run it. But usually when I think of Raiola, I think of somebody putting somebody on their backside. So hopefully we'll see him go Eric Crouch on a safety here this fall.
Before we get to the Kentucky Derby, Claus, we need to get your reaction. We've talked about this a couple of times today. Mike Riley being added the College Football Playoff Committee. Any thoughts on Mr. Hip Hip Hooray himself being added to the College Football Playoff Committee?
Well, I'd heard from some friends that he had been added to the committee, and they said, well, Nebraska will always get snubbed. But I thought after Mike was let go, he was still pretty supportive of the university, going to games and those kinds of things. So maybe a vote would flip in our favor. But first of all, we've got to worry about not the playoffs, but making even the bad boy Toyota Weed Eater Clorox Bowl. So we might be putting the cart before the horse there. And if nothing else, it'll be interesting to see him come riding in on his bike 5 minutes late to the meeting. So,
Claus Burns with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Claus, let's get to the Kentucky Derby and fierceness. The favorite 5-2, Sierra Leone 3-1, Catching Freedom at 8-1, Forever Young and Just a Touch 10-1, Dornch, Mystic Dan, Just Steel, Honor Marie, Encino, Track Phantom, Stronghold, Resilience, all 20-1. Catalytic, TO Password, Endlessly, Domestic Product, all 30-1. Grand Mo the First, Society Man, West Saratoga, all 50-1. Who are you picking?
Well, I've been going over it. I've got some different odds, I guess, I'm looking at, but it's relatively the same, I will admit. What did you say the horse is? Dornch?
Yes.
Honestly, I thought that was Door Knock, and I thought it was a horse from BYU, so that kind of changes things.
No. Mm.
I guess I'm a little worried that Catalytic might get stolen before the race. I think Mugatu is probably such a long shot because people are worried that he's there to kill the Prime Minister of Malaysia.
Jeez.
They've got enough to worry about. I suppose it would be a little strange if I, myself, being who I am, didn't pick T.O. Password, which is ironic because I can never remember mine. It's probably some variation of O.J. did it 32, but I don't have it written down. So that's who I'll go with and try to make the extra money that way to pay for all the knitting supplies I'm going to need during this race tomorrow.
Well, Claus, let's play the hypothetical game. If you got to rename a horse to a Husker-themed name, what Husker-themed horse name are you picking?
Well, I know that you guys had discussed some. I think my favorite that I've heard was Bangarang. We could go with Touchdown, Touchdown, Touchdown.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Man, Woman, and Child.
Yep.
Or maybe even call back to our good friend John Baylor with Kaboom.
Okay.
That's pretty good. Do you have any Carl-themed names?
Until this show moves to Sirius, I don't really think we want to go down that.
Good answer. Thank you.
Claus, you putting any heat down for the NBA playoffs this weekend? You like the Cavs or the Magic or the Clippers v. Mavs? That's both of those tip tonight.
Well, I don't have a whole lot of interest in the Cavs and Magic, but the Mavericks and Clippers game, there was, I've got a friend, a mutual friend of ours, Christopher, that lives down in Dallas, used to work for you, really talented radio broadcaster with an amazing voice and does great impressions and was a really good-looking kid. He lives in Dallas. But then, of course, Tyronn Lue is the head coach of the Clippers, and you know the Nebraska code. If someone has spent even 5 minutes in Epley Airfield, they're a Nebraskan, and we've got a route for them. So feels like every couple of years some rube out of Binkleman makes it to the finals of The Voice. So if I've got a route for them, I suppose I've got a route for Tehran.
Hey, let's give some credit to Brian Olsen, who's in The Voice this year. Great dude, making a great run.
Good work. So
I honestly didn't know that, but good for him.
Claus, it has been fun. And this is always good to get your take on horse names, horse betting, and, of course, a recap on the spring game. Appreciate you so much, and we'll check in with you again next week.
Okay.
There he goes, Clausburn. He's imaginary. He wears red. And, he's going with T.O. Password.
Unsurprising.
30-1. Love it. I like his take with touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. We'll wind out of Friday. It's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you one final time. Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager. Be sure to get the podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. Download, subscribe, give us a rating, good, bad, ugly. Give us feedback. And like and subscribe on the Hail Varsity YouTube channel, Hail Varsity Radio, Twitter at HVarsity Radio. Give that a follow. Elijah Herbel, Chris Schmidt. Vic from Denver wants to know if I'm going to the SIP Nebraska event. And that is up at Mahoney, the 10th and 11th. I have not decided yet. Tuck says the show title is Horsing Around. Good work. Scott says Mystic Dan for the win. John Baylor, our dear friend John Baylor, did his show from Churchill Downs one Friday afternoon. It was pretty cool. There's Rick Pitino and Denny Crum and Bob Knight all hanging out at the Derby.
Kel, I'm looking
There's
at
JB.
I'm looking at SIP Nebraska here. Are we maybe we should go.
It'd be fun.
Are you designated driving or am I?
We'll get Junior.
We'll get Connor.
Look at you just say, hey, Connor, you're working.
But, Connor, come pick us up.
So pretty interesting is looking at Will Compton. He's put a futures bet on the Big Red for a playoff berth.
Oh,
Nebraska's
good Lord.
Plus 1,500.
Oh, good Lord, Will. That's okay.
Hey, good on him, man. Good on him.
Wait, that's plus 1,500? You can get better odds on, what is it, T.O.? What's the horse name?
T.O. Password.
I was going to say, I didn't think it was T.O.'s Secrets. No. T.O.'s Password, that's right. Yeah, you can get, I mean, it's if T.O. Password goes and wins tomorrow, that's better odds than if Nebraska makes the field of 12. And let's be honest, some random horse just pulling it out in the Kentucky Derby is always a better shot than, I think, 12 football games you have to
make. I got
to
figure out who I'm taking tomorrow at Iowa Russ's Derby party. It's famous. Are we going to be able to do a quick hit tomorrow?
We should be able
make
to.
Make our prediction, just a quick video/Twitter hit.
Yeah, we should be able to.
We did one last year. I kind of like that tradition. I can show you Russ's Part A area and the glasses we use. We have dates on them. Every year.
And I can show you a boring Saturday afternoon with my roommates at my house. Great.
Well, if it was my party, I'd invite you.
I'm going camping tomorrow night anyway, so that's tomorrow night. But tomorrow afternoon.
Going camping.
Tomorrow afternoon is probably going to be sitting around my house. I've been trying to show, one of my roommates has not seen any of the Bourne movies.
Okay.
So we watched the Bourne Identity earlier this week. I think we need to show him the Bourne Supremacy at some point this weekend so we can eventually get around to the Bourne Ultimatum. That movie didn't age as well as, like, when I was a kid, I thought that movie was awesome. And now, like, I go back and watch it and go, wow, this movie feels so early 2000s with the effects and the sound and everything. It's still good, though.
You're going to want to check out the latest issue and episode of Triple Play Podcast with Herd at Sports. We enjoy catching up with Jabba Chamberlain, me and Elijah are on that pod. And Jabba loses it in Fenway. I don't know how many years ago this is, with a teammate that's just talking about why he missed his start. It's a little bit vague. Maybe you've seen it on Twitter. But stomach bug got the best of one of the Yankee starters. And tune in. Jabba will explain. It's pretty good.
Yeah, we'll have that posted tonight. Catch it at some point this weekend.
For sure. Back tomorrow morning, weekend edition, 7:45 with the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. See ya.
A Huda Media Production.